둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
It's a record heat wave out here.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, checking out the episode, the series. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, WFPK.org, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Amanda Shires. We're going to be talking about her new record, Take It Like a Man. So this is a record that that arrives at a time when she had thought about possibly giving up making music, as well as a reflection of the hurdles in her marriage. Of course, she's married to Jason Isbell. This was what they were going through at the time. Amanda's going to tell us about wanting the music to be dramatic, to match the lyrics within, and being vulnerable and open about her marriage in these songs, too. We're also going to talk about the preceding the LP with the song The Problem as a way to talk about abortion and what was happening with the Supreme Court, and having Brittany Spencer cameo and co-writing with Natalie Himby as well. So let's do this and discuss Take It Like a Man. It's Kyle Meredith with Amanda Shires.
Hello. Hello. Happy to be back.
Happy to see you again, especially with a great new album, Take It Like a Man. Your poetry is off the charts on this record. I think we talked about you really focusing on your lyrics on the last record, but even as much as I was a fan of that one, there's something bigger going on here. And I'm starting just with complimenting you because holy cow.
You know, I spent a whole lot of time in between records. 2018 is when I released the last one. And you know, I write music and I write words and I practice every day. And I'm happy to know that you can tell.
I even laughed. Unless I was listening, assuming I get this line right, there's a line on there in this record where you said, "I need more words for blue." And I thought that's kind of hilarious considering all the words that you are using on this record that still you don't have enough, apparently.
Oh, in the canon of English words, if you try and find your thesaurus and figure out more words for blue, there's not a whole lot. You know, there are a lot of different words for brown.
Well, again, it is great. When listening to it at one point, my wife and I were both listening together, and I think we were halfway through, a little bit over halfway through it, and she mentioned she's a big Carly Simon fan, and it said, "This record is really giving me some strong Carly Simon vibes as far as the feel of the album." So, starting there, when you went into this, because musically, thematically, it does feel like there's a sound, like, what were you going for? What did you want this album to be?
I wanted it to be, I guess, open, and I wanted it to have a real palette to work with, not just be, you know, like a monochromatic study of a time in life. I wanted it to paint a full picture, a more fuller picture of where I'm at and who I am at the moment, and what it took to get there. And it was that. And I think that sonically, I've always been searching for a way to keep the life in the recordings and not, over compress and squish things. And I wanted there to be drama, just like there tends to be in life. And that's what I wanted it to be.
There are those moments when your fiddle, you go for like the dirtiest solo sound, you know. It's I'm looking for a different word for blue at this moment too. It's not creepy, but sometimes it's almost gothic in a way,
you know. The instrument itself it's an old instrument, and to use it currently, I like to find new ways and new sounds with it. You know, I like to a lot of times try to play my violin as if I was David Lindley, and always serving the song. But I do play rock and roll on a violin, and sometimes you need it in the minor key for it to carry the menacing, you know, start your house on fire vibe sometimes.
Menacing, that was the word. That was the one. Well, we start off with Hawk for the Dove, and it was a lead single on this, the lead off track. And I don't know if it's meant to. It feels like it does set a tone for the journey that we're going here. Do you find that this song does speak for the whole album in that way?
I feel like I wanted that one out first because it was a show of strength, you know, and confidence. Where the album does hold that corner, it is also an incredibly vulnerable record, and I feel like leading with my most vulnerable isn't necessarily showing the strength that it takes to be that way, whereas leading with Hawk, you have a sense of the strength and you know, kind of like ownership of you as a person, which I think then allows for you to also show the harder things in the strength in opening up and being vulnerable and talking about some real shit.
If you don't mind, what is the vulnerability that you are getting at?
You know, I think that the vulnerability I'm getting at is there is discourse here about where my marriage was at the time of writing and recording this. And then, you know, even in going into the studio, I wasn't really seeking to ever do that again. I'd been through a lot of studio experiences that weren't very fun, and I'd become disenchanted with music. And then when was it, October or November? I met a person that convinced me otherwise, and that's Lawrence Rothman, my producer. And I learned a lot, you know, making this record about self-acceptance, about joy and identifying what the real problems for me were, and they weren't with music, they were a lot of times about the people that I'd you know, had in my life. They weren't, you know, supporting me or encouraging me in the right ways, or, you know, like, you know, it was just not good. And then I got to be re-shown what my passions were and that it was okay to be myself. And here we stand.
There is, I think the words I wrote down, anyway, sort of, I think I'm going on the route that you're going, or because I wrote down, you know, there seems to be like a dance of passion on this record, and not always a positive dance of passion. I mean, right. and we get that through, what was it? Here He Comes is sort of one version of the, what seems like to me anyway, as a listener, is the not positive side, but there is that, there's the sexy moments and sort of the non-sexy moments that go through.
Is okay, so another thing that this record is, outside of being it, you know, honest and vulnerable and all that, is that it's kind of about time and how it doesn't move in linearly, it moves in a circle. And and I feel like the sequence of it also mimes that, you know, because you go through these ups and downs, and you know, the he and here he comes could be a metaphor for anything really, but just when you think you've had enough, all you can take, here he comes. Just when you think you have no more heart left to break, you can take it any way you want. But I see that song as a happy light, like, oh, here comes love again, or here comes my windfall of money. I just won the lottery. But yeah, you could take it the opposite way, and to that I would say, how's it going, Kyle? What's happening?
You know, the world is infiltrating all of us right now. That's it's one thing for the artist to reflect the art that they're to reflect what they're seeing in their art, but of course there is the other side of that, right? And it's how the listener is reflecting the world through how they're listening to the song.
And that's the great thing about all of it is we all find something that we need, and sometimes, you know, saying what the song is or isn't, you don't want to force somebody to think a different way. I sure hate it if somebody tells me that song was not about hot air balloons. I thought that was about hot air balloons. What are you talking about, shins?
I'm sort of happy to hear that it's a happier song than I thought. No, it helps me out a little bit, I think, in this specific situation, to hear that it's not as dark as it may have seemed. Anyway, that I feel.
Yeah. We're all still here.
You know, I guess it's because too, with me, again, as a listener in this, there might've been an expectation, this only because this album was preceded by The Problem, as a single. So, you know, for me, I might have gone into it going, oh, I wonder if that song's not on the record though. So, well, I guess, why is it not on the record?
Well, I released that song, around the time when Amy Corndog, Comey Barrett was getting into our lives, and at that moment I just saw I was called to do whatever I could do about it and use my voice how I can and use my platform in a way that might help others, and it had to be out then, and there was no other way around it. And at that time I hadn't been thinking about writing another record. And while I can see that you would expect that they would go together or not, it's natural for you to have a record where you're talking about, like I Am Would Take It Like a Man, like I'm a woman. So you would think that I would also talk about abortion on this, where it's just, they're occupying two different spaces really. And it's so important to have the focus. I thought it was going to help, but it helped only in, I think, the way that we were able to generate money for some folks that needed it. But yeah, then all this other trash happened with this Roe v. Wade getting overturned and all that. Yeah, I started that out in a separate area, in this record here occupies a different area. While they're both still me, they're import occupies two different, you know, spaces.
Well, because we're three-dimensional,
Exactly.
And I think that's important to say in this too. Yeah. But there are moments, I'm trying to keep myself from going just every song down the line, because I think I can hit some great moment on every song here. But just taking a few of those cues, I mean, Don't Be Alarmed, you have this line, I'm losing my balance, I'm not losing my mind. And again, most like at the beginning of this interview, I'm just complimenting you on that, because, you know, the way that is encapsulated in this song, that's also so atmospheric and cinematic, you know, the scope that you're painting on here. You know, if this is about you, I'm going to try to ask this without being confusing, because sometimes in these, you know, every line is not literal. And sometimes even when it's about us, it's also character based. Like, who are you? Who are these characters in this moment in time? Maybe specifically on a song like Don't Be Alarmed or even Fault Lines.
Well, those are two completely different animals. Don't Be Alarmed is a song that I wrote, Jason and I wrote it, and so did Liz Rose and Rustin Kelly. And when it started out as Liz Rose, Rustin, and me, and then I brought Jason in on it. It's a song that I think is you know, universal in a way that we all know what it's like to deal with hard shit in relationships. And it's also, you know, there are a lot of feelings with being on either side of that coin in the relationship, where something's, you know, ending, and usually the person ending it is, you know, got the upper hand because they knew, they saw it coming, and the other person doesn't. I think that we can all relate to that, and we're having the four of us write that, it made it, you know, true for most relationships, I think. And so we would have to ask each person individually about their own feelings about that. But rather than us hash it out together, we just wrote a song about it and brought it all kind of together. And then Fault Lines, though, that was the first song I wrote for this record. And it started just as me on a ukulele. And it was also the first song we recorded for the record. And it is, you know, I had to make that decision, leaving it on the record if I wanted to invite questions. And in the end, me and Jason said, yeah, that's fine, it's a great song, put it on there.
And if anyone asks, you'll say it's true. That's the line in the song right there. And that's
well, yeah, it was true. And it was true for that time, you know, it was true for that moment. And, you know, songs can be cathartic a lot of times, and then also, you know, help.
Well, I will say nothing commenting on your relationship, but the relationship of your violin and his guitar, and the way they sort of feel like they have their own dance together when those moments happen, that's for me, that's a sweet spot too, musically.
And he counted, that's the one he counted off, right? Or did he count Don't Be Alarmed? I think there's a lot of sweet parts in that kind of, you know, lonesome spot.
Yeah, well, great moments. Bad Behavior, I think that's the one you do a little hit, just a little bit of hip hop through, you know, nod.
So Brittany Spencer came into, I invited her to the studio when we were recording, and she sings a lot of backgrounds on this record, and we were so in the moment and so excited to be, you know, working in such a wonderful studio together. And she was excited, that's the first one she sang on, and she was just happy to be there. And I love those kind of folks, and I was so happy to be there, and the joy was infectious. And then she goes, yah yah bitch, yah yah, and I thought, we're not taking this off, it's perfect.
Oh, it jumps out. I laughed the first time I heard it, because it was like, no, what, that wasn't, did that happen? That happened.
That's my girl Brittany Spencer. Tattoos that day together too, we got these matching dagger tattoos.
Awesome. But I'll quickly hit on Everything Has Its Time. It's almost nostalgic when I hear it, in the way like Madonna's This Used to Be My Playground makes me feel. I don't know if you can
see what I can see.
It's, I mean, so I guess what I'm saying was, for whatever version of as I said, the dance of passion happens on this record, where are we left at the end of it?
Where we left at the end of it is replaying it again from the top. And that's the part of the pattern, because me and Natalie Hemby wrote that song, Everything Has Its Time. And the ends of some things are just the beginnings of others. And also, you know, it's different. You think about that song of it going back and being, you know, kind of nostalgia based, and sometimes remembering the way things used to be will remind you to bring all those good fun times into your current situation. Like sometimes you need a little reminder of having fun in order for you to have fun again. Like, remember fun.
Apparently I do need to remember fun, as we found out from
good. Was my record an opening into your couple's therapy? I hope so. Was for me too.
I appreciate it. I do. It's gonna be now when I listen to it, it will.
Yeah.
Seriously, this is great. Take It Like a Man is such a great record. You know, I'm such a fan of you every single time, but this one, I feel like you are even somehow swinging at bigger fences and knocking them out. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. We worked really hard on it, and it took a minute to get to a place where I could stand the sound of my voice up that loud in the mix. Compared to the other records, you can hear that it's louder in the mix, and I'm okay with it finally.
I'm so happy to hear it. Amanda, thank you so much for taking the time to talk today too. It was great catching up with you.
Thank you so much. And don't forget, if whatever you're going through, it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay. I appreciate it. All right.
Okay. Bye.
Now, Amanda and I last caught up, I believe in 2018. This is when we were talking about her record, To the Sunset. We got to talk about it, some of its larger themes of mental illness and sex, getting her master's in fine arts, and hanging with John Prine as well. So I'll include it. Part two, Kyle Meredith with Amanda Shires.
How are you doing?
I'll point out that you're coming back to Louisville September 29th. I see you've got a date at Headliners behind this new record, To the Sunset. We're very excited to have you back in town.
Well, I can't wait.
No, it's always good to have you up here. And I guess the place to start is, one of the most obvious places is, this is not the same sound that people are used to, where you sort of left off. I think it'll be a surprise for a lot of people, but I know that's important for any of artists to kind of grow. Is it important to you to not be pigeonholed in Americana and roots? And does this sound stem from that at all?
I think that if you go back in my catalog and you go listen to like Down Fell the Doves and the other two records, you can hear things like what I'm doing on this new record. It's just I did more of it. So I think that if, because, you know, my last record didn't have any of the kind of synthesizer or any kind of thing, or kind of not too much electric guitar and everything. But so if people just caught on to me from that record, then I could see how they might think it was way different. But to me, it's not that far from previous works, but it is far, I guess, in the way that there's, you know, some crazy, crazy doubled robotic vocals or something like that. But and it is odd that I have songs that aren't completely just miserable and sad.
Is it any different for you to write around beats? You know, if you're not playing with someone live or creating with someone live, is that very different for you?
I don't write with beats. I just write in my closet far away from my toddler with the door closed and my microwave, a Lean Cuisine, and I just stay in there.
Well, I guess then it's more about recording. We hear the beats on this record and everything, and I don't know if the finished product, the recording or whatever it is, because if you're playing along with what sounds like a computer at least, or maybe it's someone on a drum kit.
We recorded it on drums. See, the way I was hearing it in my head sometimes was I met with Dave Cobb before we recorded the record and told him what I was trying to do, because it takes a lot to try and explain, translate what's in your head, what you're hearing in your head, especially if you aren't good at the drums, which I'm not good at the drums, and how to, you know, make it translate into, like, make the drummer or have the drummer experiment and stuff like that. So sometimes we did double things, like we had a drum set and then we had another drum set, and sometimes we did a drum kit and then you know, the sample pad, which is actually the drummer playing the 80s sample pad thing, you know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
It just looks like a weird little gray box with like six squares on it, and you bang a drumstick on it, not like your chicken drumstick, but your drumstick on it, and see what you like with those sounds. But no, I had an idea for this record, all the sounds I could hear in my head, and then after that it was a matter of just talking to Dave and us trying to figure it out together.
Well, I do like the sound that it's made. It's made for a really fun listen already, and I thought, with the things that you're tackling on this record, maybe it was important for the sound to match the lyrics, because even the brighter stuff can be a little bit darker, I've noticed.
Yeah, I agree. And we need a little bit of fun and to find some kind of joy in these in times as they are.
You know, some of the issues that you're talking about here, mental illness, addiction, does that come from any specific place for you? Is there a reason why you wanted to write about those subjects?
I think that there are things that I deal with on the daily with my friends and family. And then I know that my friends and family also are dealing with them. And then, you know, just trying to make it easier to talk about things, you know, to make it less, you know, just to try and open conversation, you know, have, if people can ask a question, then that's good, because they're starting to talk. And I think that a lot of us are scared to talk to one another these days. I think it's really important, you know, face-to-face contact and caring, you know, empathy and all that sort of stuff. And I think anytime, the more we talk about it, the less of a, not stigma, like the less it, the more we talk about it, the more we talk about it. So we're not talking about it less. There's a word I'm looking for here. Because when we ignore things, then they become bigger beasts. And I don't know, it's all about connectivity and connecting with one another and trying to help each other out, I guess, without trying to be a hippie.
I know we're dealing with that in the music community and all over the world. I mean, suicide rates and recent reports are up quite a bit than since the late 90s. But but in our world, it was, of course, recently with Bourdain and last year with Chris Cornell and on and on and on. And that's what we keep hearing. This needs to be talked about more. It needs to be talked about more. So to address that in a song.
And everybody's going through things. I mean, it's everybody's going through something. Just whether or not they feel safe talking about things is another thing altogether.
Well, I definitely appreciate that you're putting that conversation out there, because I know, especially, you know, we hear the stories about fans coming up to artists after shows and talk about how meaningful these songs can be. And so if you're talking about, you know, as specifically as Taboo.
That was the word I was looking for. You found it.
No, wait a second. You're the one with the master's in creative writing, right?
Yes. But, you know, I have a toddler that she kept me up a little bit last night. She's going through some kind of emotional stuff. So she's yelling out in the night, and I'm like, what is going on up there? There's turtles coming from the sky. I'm like, this is not a Sturgill Simpson dream.
Oh, but if it was. Mm-hmm. The creative writing thing, did the master's part, did I read that right? Is that something new? Did you just get the master's part?
Got it last April. It took me 5 years, though.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm glad I made it through with all my brain still intact.
You know, most people say you can't do anything with a major like that. I think you're showing them.
I think, you know, education never hurts, and learning, like, I'm a curious person. I think the more you can, that you're interested and that you stay interested, the better quality of life you have, I guess, because, you know, nobody wants to be bored. But no, I went to pursue that because in my songwriting, I was operating solely on instinct, and I was so slow with my songs. It was just so slow because every time I wanted to make a decision, I had to follow one idea out and then try the other idea. And so I just wanted to get to be a better writer. And so I went there to try and search for some more tools for the toolbox. And I feel like I found a few, and the editing is easier, and you know, deciding which preposition's better is helpful. And you know, trying to be more precise, and we use it a lot around here, even in just, you know, everyday conversations about words.
It seems like it'd be three full-time jobs, you know, going for any kind of higher education and being a full-time musician and being a full-time parent. Like, that sounds maddening.
Yeah, it was. Well, I didn't have Mercy until I was done with the coursework, and then I took that last, I added a year on to finish my thesis. So it's all done. Let's just break out some champagne.
Well, on the lighter side of things, I'll bring up the lead single. I hope that I can say the lighter side of things. I know it's talking about romance and sex to a point, which has also been really fun, finding the Americana critics trying to figure out how to talk about a song that's talking about sex.
I mean, all you got to do is just say it, you know, make that less taboo, too. I mean, if the president can say pussy,
ding,
can I?
Yes, you can. it was very quick that I went back to you and Jason Isbell had recorded a cover of Licky Lee's I Follow Rivers, mm-hmm. which is, you know, not a sex song, but it's how I kind of associate Licky Lee, because a lot of her songs kind of mm-hmm. deal with that. And I don't know if there's a direct line that you can draw there, but that's what my brain did. It went back to that
spot. Yeah, that's fine with me. I just fell in love with it because of the English as a second language type thing. Like it's just even reading other authors' translations or a translated author's work, you know, something that's been translated into English. It's always fascinating to me too, just because of the images that are chosen and then the sort of, I don't know, just kind of off kilter writing, the way it turns out when you do translate things. And I think that's what that whatever the song is about is, it's just, I don't know, it's an earworm, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great reading of it, too. I played that one along plenty of times. And I'll bring up a few of the guests on this record. You mentioned Dave Cobb, of course. It sounds like the whole family is invited. Gillian and Dave Rawlings. Is there anybody else that we should point out?
I mean, Gillian sang on the harmony on that one. Jason played the guitars for the most part on it. And, just us hanging out, being cool. Oh, Peter Levin, that I met when I was playing with Greg Allman, I talked him into playing on the record and joining my band. And so he played on the record, except on one song. And Barry DeBoerhoff from the 400 Unit played a few keys on I think it was Charms, maybe?
That's not a bad lineup right there.
I like them.
Not bad company.
You're going to love them.
And I'll also bring it up. You were on John Prine's album, mm-hmm. which we absolutely adore. Seeing him get the spotlight this bright these days is so awesome. And you've spent a lot of time with John, right?
I sure have. And it has always been a really good time. He's hilarious. He's a person, the same person on stage as he is walking around the airport.
I just kind of imagine just trying to hang on to his one-liners, you know.
He loves meatloaf. All you have to do is give him some meatloaf.
I'll remember that. I don't know if I'll ever get the chance, but I'll remember that. I had him on the phone a couple months ago, but mm-hmm. one of my favorite interviews that's ever happened.
I could listen to him for hours, I think. He's got the best stories.
Well, Amanda, I definitely appreciate you again giving me the call and do this. And I'm really looking forward to the sunset coming out. And again, I'll mention September 29th. We're going to have you back here in Louisville at Headliners. Thank you so much.
It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait.
Bring it.
Well, I'll bring it. I'll bring all of it.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
My thanks to Amanda Shires. The new album is called Take It Like a Man. Thanks to you as well for checking out the episode and the series. Again, I do hope you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at iTunes, Apple Podcast, at Spotify, Podchaser, WFPK.org, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, mostly Twitter, also Facebook, Instagram, all three of them at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hot.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.